All right, we'll ask the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we do praise you, Lord. I praise you especially for the insight that you're giving people, Lord. You're just giving them insight, and that's a wonderful thing. And I thank you for it, Lord, and praise your name. Now, Lord, I pray as the word goes forth that you'll help, that your Holy Spirit will do the job in the speaker and in the listeners. Thank you for the answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Where's Vi? You know, I feel God's love going out to you, Vi. I can feel it right now. It's such a, you know, being poor in spirit is kind of hard to grasp in a way. It's more than being meek, and it's more than being humble. But you don't have to be soft. You can be forthright. I don't know, but Vi gave us a good illustration of what it means to be poor in spirit. And we've got in Christianity, we've got so many loudmouths. I'm probably one of them. God's a man of faith and power. There's someone in Brazil right now being healed of ingrown toenails. Everybody say amen. There's a lot of that. But that's not Jesus. Jesus is more like what Vi, that's the way Jesus goes around. So you just had an excellent illustration of being poor in spirit, not being confident of yourself, trusting in the Lord. You don't even have to cry, but it helps. All right, Matthew 5, 3 through 10. We read this before, but it's very much on my mind. Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now this is a part of Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, how are these three chapters different from the rest of the New Testament? How many here have ever read the Bible? Several. How is it different from the rest of the New Testament? Well, I guess I'm going to have to tell you. The rest of the New Testament tell about the means of getting to this behavior. You notice in those chapters, it says nothing about the Lordship of Christ. It says nothing about the blood atonement. It says nothing about water baptism. All those mechanisms are described by the apostles, but it's the Sermon on the Mount that is the goal. Now, in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, this is a very famous verse, and I think many of the Jews know it, but it's my impression when I was in Israel, but I may be mistaken. All right, Isaiah chapter verse 3, chapter 2, is down. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. I don't know if you grasp the enormous importance of that, but it's speaking of the time after the victory at Armageddon, after the time that the saints have gone through the earth, demolishing the works of Antichrist. And you can read about that in the second chapter of Joel. After that, after Antichrist and the false prophet have been thrown into the lake of fire, after Satan has been bound in the bottomless pit. And so, and I've quoted many times Matthew 13 about the angels of the Lord will go forth and remove from the kingdom everything that does sin, removes it. And then again in Jude, if we turn to Jude, there's a passage I don't recall preaching in this church ever. But it's of this same idea that we are approaching the destruction of sin in the earth. It's going to be removed. Scroll down. I think it's about verse 11, something like that. I didn't intend to mention it this morning. In Jude. All right, keep going down. Is that the end? Here we are. Notice that. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. And these men were men who had taken the message of Paul and perverted it into an excuse for lasciviousness or uncleanness. They had taken the grace of God and perverted it into an excuse for sin. And that's what's true in our day. That's the preaching of grace many times is an excuse for sin. There's one for you, Mark. Mark's much into this. And notice what it says here. The Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy men, holy ones. I'll call them the God people, to get you acquainted with a phrase that I may elaborate on later, to judge everyone. This is Joel's army, and to convict all the ungodly. They're coming. The God people. After Christ has ascended, his saints have gone up to meet him, and they're coming. And I'm telling you, they're the select, those that have followed the Lamb, Revelation 14, and they'll be shining like 10,000 watt bulbs. There was a prophet came to us one time. You remember the Ainsleys, Audrey? They had a friend who was a true prophet. And he says, I saw them resurrected shining like 10,000 watt bulbs. I never forgot that expression because this man was a true prophet. And then you'll find in Isaiah 61 that it says, the people of the earth say, these are the priests of the Lord, the God people. That's what's being formed now. That's what God wants you to be. So that when Christ comes, you'll be raised, caught up to meet him, and then descend with him in tremendous glory. And all sin will be removed from the earth. And you can just read how the peoples of the earth will regard you. In Isaiah 61, it starts off about the anointing on Christ, and then the forming of oaks of righteousness. And then, as it says in Revelation 3, around verse 11 something, the name of the holy city will be written on the overcomers. Can you imagine that? And everywhere they go, people, this is the holy city. I hope I can tell you these things without getting you puffed up. You read in, where is it? Mark 10:42. Don't get puffed up. You see this in Joel? You see that thousands upon thousands of his holy ones? As people. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And I see that the president of Syria and the president of Iraq are causing the death of millions well, not millions, but probably hundreds of thousands of people in order to retain their position. Such an abomination. They have no regard for the people that they're supposed to be taking care of, but are letting them all be sacrificed so that they can be boss. Well, Jesus is going to give us power and authority greater than they ever heard of, but we will not be boss. Go on to the next one. I want you to get this down in your cerebral cortex, because there are preachers who are preaching today, look in the mirror and you'll see God. I'm aware of that. But it's a wrong spirit. And the people get all inflated and think there's some great thing. And I hope I can tell you what God is going to do. And none of us, especially me, will get inflated. Is that all right? Amen. We'll remain poor in spirit. Amen. And every time you feel like getting inflated, just picture Vi. That's why God had him testify this morning. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be your servant. We've never had a foot washing service in this church, and probably never will as long as I am. There's never nothing as quite as disgusting as an old man's feet. But maybe if we had a church of young people, we could have a foot washing. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. So it's none of this high mucky mucks. That's not what I'm teaching you. I'm trying to get your eyes up so that you'll see that all this that's going on in the refreshers as in the camp is to get us ready internally for outer glory. That's its purpose. You know, before you can put people into paradise, you must get paradise into them. Otherwise, a rotten apple will spoil the barrel. Did you know that? You're probably too young. But that used to be a common saying. If you take a barrel of apples, you don't see them much anymore. People used to keep a barrel of apples. Maybe Val does up at her place there. Did they survive a tornado? Do you know?
Yes, they did. The Lord's been hearing our prayers.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They're good people there in Kansas. And they may have, but if you take a barrel of apples, all good apples, and you put in a bad apple, what do you think will happen to those apples? They don't make the bad apple good. All those good apples don't make the bad apple good. The bad apple makes the good apples bad. And that's why you don't put, don't they have that saying in Greece, Tony? Yeah, a little bad apple spoils the barrel. And so God is not going to take people who are still full of self-will, which is the worst of all problems, and put them into paradise. It isn't going to happen. So that's why you hear all this morning of the different ones, Rebecca and all the others, Kathy and Margaret. That was wonderful, Margaret. It was really great. Talk about what God is doing to them inside. That God is creating paradise inside. See, that's where it's important. Not going to heaven. Not going up with the good apples. Getting the bad apples. Good. First, before you expose other people. Does that make sense to you? All right. So I'm not talking to you about some glory trip that you're all going to drive around in your nice cars and talk about pulling down the wicked spirits, as is being done today. I'm telling you to just keep this. I've talked too much about vile giving problems. I won't do that anymore, Lord. Keep that in mind. God, blessed are the poor in spirit. All right. Whoever would be first must be slave of all. You want to be the highest among us? Be the servant of all of us. That will exalt you in God's sight. Now, I put that disclaimer in because as I was in my catatonic state last night, like I usually am, not asleep, not awake, but seeing all this stuff and seeing the history of the world. And I got to a place where I said, and then a man appeared that was different from the others. And he was crucified. And then came the God people. And that's what Jude is talking about, the saints who have learned to be poor in spirit so that God can entrust it. Don't let the phrase throw you. If it does, I'll use something else. Believers, how's that? When the believers come, resurrected, immortal bodies headed up by Jesus. And you'll notice in Isaiah 61 what it says, that the peoples of the earth will come and help them. And that's also in Revelation. The nations come as several places. Isaiah 60 talk about all the peoples of the nations coming and helping the church. And you know what it says? They'll be your vine dressers, and they'll be take care of your sheep. Our sheep. Not spiritualizing it. It's because the world that is coming is going to be much more agricultural than it is now. We build great cities and they're full of sin. We're going to have a farming. You see that in Isaiah chapter 65 also. They're vines, and that ought to make you happy, Tony. Because when you get into the big cities, they look so great. You know, Las Vegas and L.A., and they look so great. And they are absolute cesspools. And when the sons of God go through the earth, as it says in Jude and in Joel, all this is going to be vaporized. And we're going to be back to a simple agrarian society. I have memory. I was never on a farm as such, but I did in a visit because I had friends in Vermont and so on. But there's nothing like them. I'd rather be in a farm any day than in the middle of downtown L.A. God created a garden, and that's where he wants people, Patty, in a garden. He didn't create them in a skyscraper. We got it all mixed up. But God's going to change it. But first, he has to get people who can be agents of change. And that's what we are, agents of change. But first, we have to be changed. And we have to be changed according to the Sermon on the Mount. And if you'll notice in Isaiah 52, verse 3, it says, the law shall go forth from Zion in the word of the Lord, from Jerusalem. Did you hear me? Isaiah chapter 52, verse 3, the law shall go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You know what, Ed? It already did. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And it came from the Lord. And it came from Jerusalem. But first God had to put the mechanics of how to get us there in the midst of Antichrist. And after Antichrist and all the rest of them are gone, then it will be our job to teach the nations. We need to see Isaiah 52 verse 3 again. Was Isaiah what? Chapter 2, verse 3. Yeah, I was just trying to see if you're awake. Chapter 2, verse 3. And look at this. I imagine Belinda can tell us if it's true that the Jews know this saying. Many peoples will go up, come and say, come, let us go up to the revival meeting. Is that what it says? How about it, Jemima? You just got promoted. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Well, now, on earth, that's Jerusalem. But spiritually, it's where we are now. It's in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. It says, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. That's Hebrews chapter 12. But on earth, it's the physical city of Jerusalem, and the spiritual Israel, spiritual Jerusalem, will come to the physical Jerusalem. And the peoples on the earth, they say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Why would people say this? I mean, imagine if you went out today, how many states of this country are going to say, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord? I saw one city in New York that had a sign out, and listen, this is what it said, Obama save us. I kid you not, that's what it said. It was on the television, Obama save us. Well, what happened is, Armageddon, the putting in, confining of the evil principalities and the angels and the demons and everything else, and the whole earth is spiritually clean, then the average person on earth will say to his brother, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. I'm giving you a picture that is going to come to pass because God said so, and this is why he is dealing with you in your inner nature, getting that straightened out, because you won't be any good to this program. It reminds me, I've been writing on a little pamphlet called A Few Good Men and Women. It reminded me of that Marine Corps slogan, A Few Good Men and Women. That's what God is looking for. Are you going to be a few good men and women? Well, then you're going to come into glory you can't even picture at this time. But God first wants to make you poor in spirit. And the law will go out from Zion. It did. Christ himself is Zion. He is Zion. And all that is part of him is Zion. And anything that is not part of him is not part of Zion. It's not physical. It's not the physical. Israel is as, what does Paul say, is as Hagar, the slave girl. The real one is the seed of Abraham. And that's what we are, because we're part of Christ, whether we're Jews or Gentiles. Can you deliver that? The law will go out from Zion. It did. It went out from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? The Lord was telling me when I was in this catatonic trance of mine. I've told you before, there's going to be no churches in the spirit world. Who needs a church when you've got the man? You have a question, the man will come and answer it. I have to go to a church. And you notice this was not given in a synagogue. It was given on a mountainside. That's why it's called the Sermon on the Mount, surprisingly enough. And Jesus said to Pilate, he said, I have not spoken in secret. I spoke out where the people are. Lest he be accused of starting an organization. You house people in a building, and every time you minister, you bring them into the building, you could be suspect of trying to start some kind of an organization. So he proclaimed the law out on a mountainside. Isn't that cool? Woo-wee. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord went out from Jerusalem. He gave the law. And, you know, we think, well, poor in spirit, that's a bunch of real meek people, they're real flimsy, and they can be pushed over. It's symbolized in the four faces of the cherubim by the lion. It's power. It's the iron scepter. The Sermon on the Mount is the iron scepter. It comes on so meek, but it will end up filling the whole earth and changing the people till they don't want war anymore. It's power. Power. Come, let us go up. He will teach us. People wanting to go up and be taught. People from the street. Everybody. Farmers, artisans, everything. Rich people, poor people. Everybody swarming up to Jerusalem so we can be taught. Why do we want to be taught? Because all of the evil spirits have been removed by those whom God is preparing now. And that's why he's preparing us in the midst of this valley of the shadow of death. There has to be a group. There has to be someone like Revelation 14, first fruits to God and the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion. There has to be that to break the back of wickedness. A few good men and women. And when you go over to Revelation 12, you find them. The accuser has been overcome by our brothers. The accuser has been overcome by our brothers. And he was cast from, he and his angels were cast down from their place in heaven to the earth. That was breaking the back of Satan. And that's done by people that are overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, not only in the forgiveness of sin, but learning to live by his body and blood, constantly appealing to his body and blood for victory over sin. Those people overcome Satan and the word of their testimony. And someone here, and I think it was Vi, but I'm not sure, someone talked about they were down and then they were up because God made something clear in the Word, and now they were going to cling to that, rejoicing that that's how you overcome the accuser, by the word of your testimony. But the most important thing is that you love not your life to the death. You have to give up everything, put up everything on the altar of God, put your treasures in heaven. You know, that sounds terrible. It is not terrible. What you'll be doing is freeing yourself from a lot of bondages, and you don't realize it. Anything you can't give to God happily has got a claim on you. You better get, let God take it from you if he ever asked for it. Yeah, don't cling to anything. If you do, you won't be among the shining ones that are going to appear and purify the earth. If you cling to anything, let me tell you, this is the highest reward any person can attain, and it makes the most demands. To whom much is given of him shall be required. And God wants to give you and me much. But boy, he's going to require much. So don't cry about it and feel bad about it. Say, praise God, he's getting paradise into me. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, thank you. The law will go out from Zion, and that law is the Sermon on the Mount. That's why it's different from the whole rest of the New Testament. It doesn't deal with the blood and the cross and those things. It deals with behavior, and that's what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of heaven is in behavior, not in doctrine. What did I just say? The kingdom of heaven is in behavior and not in doctrine. So your head may be full of doctrine, but what God wants is behavior. I mean, the Pharisees, their head was full of doctrine, wasn't it? Yeah, they had memorized the first five books of the Bible, but they murdered the Messiah. The only thing that matters is Jesus. And everything in the Bible and in preaching and in all the stuff that Margaret was talking about and Kathy and everything else is to get you acquainted with Jesus. I mean, to where you're talking to him one-on-one, as I've been saying for 5 years. Get acquainted with Jesus so you know him and you talk to him. I mean, people who go for 2 or 3 days and never ask the Lord anything. How in the world do you expect to survive? Did Paul say pray continually? I think he said pray continually. What do you think that means? It probably means to pray continually. Odds are on. So, the law will go out from Zion. It already has. It did 2,000 years ago. There was the Lord giving the word, this is it, and believe me, as he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Before he's finished, before God is finished, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3 will be in effect. People will be saying, let's go up to Zion. There'll be no more big shots. In my catatonic state, I'll tell you something else I saw. It was a whole influx of people in the spirit world. And you could tell from the surprised look on their face, and I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people just standing around. You could tell that they were astonished. And I think what had happened was there had been an atomic explosion. Now, Brother Fullerton said atomic fire would burn on the earth for 7 years. And he is pretty much of a prophet, so I expect that will happen. But anyway, all these people were astonished. They had suddenly come into the spirit world, hundreds of thousands of them. And you know what? Someone came up to me and said, let's see if we can't organize some of this and get some of these people together. Do you think that's right? You're not sure, are you? It's as wrong as it could be. The whole problem with Christianity is organization. And every other religion, they're trying to get people in a box so some man or woman can be exalted. And God doesn't want any part of it. Can you imagine? All these people, and someone was trying to capitalize on it and build his own kingdom. No, religion and Jesus are two different things. Amen. Religion is man's attempt to do, all religions, what he thinks God wants. But then there's Jesus, and you can talk to him. You can talk to him anytime you want to. And he's more interested in hearing you and talking to you and answering your prayers than you are interested in him talking to you. You say, but I'm busy. You know why? You're not poor in spirit. When you're poor in spirit, you're not that busy. Just stop and think about that. What is filling your mind right now about after church? What you're going to do? Why don't you just say, Lord, what are we going to do after church? It's so simple. And you say, well, I wouldn't ask about anything like that. God doesn't want to be bothered. Let me tell you, God wants to be bothered. God wants you to bother him. About what? About everything. Everything. He wants you to bother him about everything. What you eat, when you eat it, and how much you eat. Work, play, study, everything. Take it to Jesus. It's so simple. But you see, we're not poor in spirit. We don't get emptied out enough that we can hear the Lord. You have to be emptied. How many know what it means to be poor? Shouldn't ask that question. It means not enough money, right? To be poor in spirit means we don't have enough spirit. We're down in the spiritual department. We don't come on strong. Saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I plan on doing this, and this is what we're going to do. That's rich in spirit. Like the Laodiceans said, we have need of nothing. That's what they said in the third chapter of Revelation. We have need of nothing. That's what it means to be rich in spirit. To be poor in spirit is to feel, God, you know, I can't take another step without you. I can't think a thought without you. I can't speak a word without you, Jesus. From the time you wake up, I have to pray to the Lord to get strength to get out of bed. Well, you don't have to do that. So there are advantages of being old. Don't worry about it, April. It'll all come out in the wash. All right. Now, all right, let's go back to Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not meek, not teachable, not humble. They just don't make their own plans or speak their own words. They just don't come on strong like God's man of faith and power. All right. But what is their, what do they get for that? They get to go to heaven, right? How many say they get to go to heaven? Is that what it says? What does it say? What's the difference between heaven and the kingdom of heaven?
One is a place, heaven is a place, the kingdom is a government.
That's true. That it's a state of being. It's not referring to where you are. It's referring to who you're ruled by. Are you ruled by God and Jesus? See? That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom that comes from heaven. The kingdom of God. I know there's an author that says they're two different kingdoms. That's... You can prove in 3 minutes that they're the same thing by examining the synoptic gospels. What are the synoptic gospels? I threw a big word at you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All right. Now, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. It means that you are the person who is poor in spirit is being ruled by God. Do you know, I've come to the conclusion that the greatest problem of mankind is self-will. I've come to that conclusion. Our biggest problem is self-will, deciding what we're going to do. You say, is that what we're supposed to do? No. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to pray. About what? Hey, all right, we hit a nerve there. That's exactly right. We pray about everything. Now, you say that's impossible. No, you never tried it. When, instead, you prefer to worry. It didn't say worry without ceasing. It didn't say that. It says pray continually in the NIV. Pray continually. Now, one of the two is going to be true because we are living in the valley of the shadow of death. So one of the things is true. Either you're going to worry or you're going to pray. Now, if you enjoy worrying, which I do not, you want to be the Lord's worrier in chief, that's up to you. But I don't care to do that. It's much better to pray and have God's peace. Pray about everything. Let your mind be the mind of Christ. Don't tell me I'm not practical. I've had a job starting at the age of 14, delivering papers, up till I became a pastor, I've worked. You don't think that's funny, do you? Well, I wouldn't call being a pastor work. It's getting out and doing something and being responsible for your family and blah, blah, blah. Well, I've done that most of my life, so I know what it means to be practical. So don't give me that you can't pray without ceasing and still be practical, because that's just your evading of the presence of Christ. You'd much rather do it yourself than have Jesus do it, because you most certainly can do any kind of job you can imagine if it's legitimate. You know, I don't know anything about running a drug den or anything, but if it's legitimate, you can do anything from the dishes to examining. What was it you heard, Kathy? I never heard that expression, the quantum relationships?
Quantum entanglement.
The wonder I couldn't understand the word. The law of quantum entanglement. You can be studying on that and still praying. What would you pray for? God would help you to understand it. I'm serious. When you say, what does Jesus know about the law of quantum entanglement?
Everything.
What's your scripture? In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You people, what are you reading? Popular Mechanics or Mademoiselle or what? Huh? In Him or He knows. Guess who invented quantum entanglements? You say, surely not Jesus. Oh, He's not real to you. Hey, He's a person. Are you still praying in King James English? Oh, dear Lord, I come to Thee. He's a person. Jesus is a person. And you say, well, He can't be in here and China at the same time. He has the power of multiple presence. He can stay in the presence of God, at the right hand of God, and be everywhere at once. And you know what? If this doesn't go and make it so your Stetson doesn't fit, you're going to have that power someday. You're going to have the power to make intercession for 5,000 people and call them out one by one. In the space of a few minutes and be there with them, actually with them. You say, that's impossible. Come on, people. Go out tonight and look up at the heavens and consider what's up there. And how did it get there? God spoke to Jesus and told Jesus what to say, and Jesus said it, and boom! There it was. And now, Audrey was telling me that the scientists say that this great explosion that's supposed to, everything came from now is being disputed, that it isn't true. Well, I could have told them that. You didn't have to go to college to learn that. Are you still with it? How many are all inflated now that they realize that someday they're going to come? Let's look at, before we go further in the Sermon on the Mount, let's go to Isaiah 61 so you can see why you're anointed. Why do you think you're anointed? So you can speak in tongues, right? Is that the reason? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And isn't that interesting? And most charismatics are not poor. We tend to be at least middle class. We don't picture ourselves as poor. Oh, but this means poor in spirit. Fine. I won't argue about it. He has sent me to, and you know who's doing all this? Who's the me? Jesus. And He's saying this in His home synagogue. And they received Him with open arms. Isn't that wonderful? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And that's what He wants. He's not talking about the world here. Jesus isn't talking. He came to the Jews. And by token of our relationship to us, if you're brokenhearted, it's you. How can you be one of God's shining ones if you're brokenhearted? Well, probably you can. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. I think from the things that some people said today, they have been captives or are being set free. Is that true? Thank you. And release from the darkness. He's talking to the saints now. For the prisoners. You say, am I a prisoner? Yes, if there's anything you love more than Jesus. You're a prisoner. Is that right, Gideon? Come on, man. That's right. All right. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and that's now, and the day of vengeance of our God, that's now. We're approaching that. We're coming close, but we're going to see chaotic times in America before we're through here. And you don't have to worry about that if you're in the center of God's will. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you if, what? You're under the shadow of the Most High. That means if you're abiding in Christ. Did you hear me? Jerusalem was in an uproar, and one man, Jeremiah was there. And Nebuzaradan came over and said, you want to come back? We'll put you in a 5-star motel in Babylon. You want to stay here? We'll give you a present. One man. And it can be that way for you if you will be one of the very few American Christians who will really give it all to the Lord. Because most of them never heard of such a thing. To comfort all that mourn. I think God comforted Vi from what he said. I think God comforted him, although he didn't understand exactly in what way and why and how. All right, let's go on. To provide for those who grieve in Zion, not for the people who are all full of themselves, talking about what great Christians they are and how they're going to work miracles. There's so much of that today. Keep away from it. Keep away from it. Don't get bogged down with people that are preaching miracles. I believe in miracles, and I've experienced miracles. But what God is talking about today is to get our inner life right with God. That's the word of the hour. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. That's something that you rule by, because every one of God's saints is a ruler. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. If you're in despair this morning, there's no need for it. You know, I was thinking, you can, if when I'm preaching, something comes up to your mind that is wrong and you know it and it needs to be dealt with, you don't need to wait and come to the altar. You don't need to do that. Right this minute, name it to the Lord and say, I need help with this, Lord. I've battled it and I need help with it. I'm through with it. I'm sick of it. I don't want it anymore. Anybody in here like that? No? Is no one in here? Two people. Two honest people. All right. Let's all stand. Now, right now, without going to the altar necessarily, Lloyd, we could use a little ecclesiastical music. Now, what I'm talking to you about is that God is preparing you and me to be holy people that will appear with him and tear down the works of Satan and bring glory to the peoples of the earth so they want to hear about God. That is what is going on in your life. And if it's all entangled and it isn't going right, then what I want you to do is to raise your hand. I'm going to pray. I haven't done this in a long time. If it isn't going right, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and God will hear me. I see those hands. Yeah, that's what I thought. I never get on this subject unless there's a need in the church. Never. Now, what I'm saying is there's something, you don't have to wait and come to the altar. You can be delivered right now. If there's something you need to be freed from in your spirit, don't grasp, you know, make up stuff. If there's something that's been troubling you, slip up your hand. All right, is that all the hands? Okay. Now you agree with me as I pray. Ikisili alabakaha, shili alabahandala alabakaha, sili alabahaya. Father, you know how we are in America. Lord, we're too besotted with material things, and they creep up on us, the bondages. Now, Jesus, these people have raised their hand at my request to denote that they need your touch, Lord. They need your touch this morning. They need to be released from that which is hindering them from joy, hindering them from victory. In the name of Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who died for the sins of the world, not in my name, but in his name. Satan, I confront you, and I declare that you will leave these people now in the name of Jesus. Leave this church now in the name of Jesus. Everyone, everyone, we will not settle for compromise. Everyone, everyone, till we're free here, Lord. Everyone, in the name of Jesus, no matter what the problem is, we come against you, Satan. You are a deceiver and a liar, and you corrupt God's people. We stand against you in the name of Jesus. Not in our name, in the name of Jesus. And you know that name. You know the great I am. You know who the Lord is. And in his name, and as a spokesman for him, I declare that you will leave this building right now. The root of you, out of this building. And you will not stay around afterward. And you will not go near our relatives. I tell you, that's the word of the Lord to you, Satan, this morning. In the name of Jesus. And you shall do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many feel released? Anybody? All right. How many are not released? Raise your hands. You're not released. You don't feel a release in yourself. This is a time of release right now. All right, I see that hand. I see that hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, that your Son be honored, that he may honor you. Hallelujah. That Jesus may be honored in this place, that he may honor God. We say every bondage shall go. Everyone, in the name of Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, there'll be no arguing. You leave. In Jesus' name, you leave. In Jesus' name, you're not welcome here anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something's still hanging on. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you're not welcome here. Leave. Father, torment those who torment us. Torment those who torment us right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Torment them, Lord. Torment them that torment us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift up the name of Jesus. You said you would draw all men unto you, Lord. We lift up the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I feel released now. I feel released. Hallelujah. 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 Now, as you go, don't invite things back. 4 years ago, I had arthritis in my right knee. Every time I feel that trying to come back, I stamp on it. You have to be that way with Satan. Once you're set free, that's it. Keep it. And when you go out, don't talk about every crazy worldly things. Give praise to God and thank him that he's set you free and has seen fit to bring you this morning so you could hear his word. Just give him thanks. as you go out and in your car on the way home. Don't curse people that get in your way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have redeemed us by your blood. Blessed be your name.